In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Glory to Jesus Christ. Paul, in his epistle to the Corinthians, addresses a number of problems in the church that he had established. And at the close of this epistle, after addressing many problems such as divisions and immorality and quarrels, misuse of gifts and other such things, he gives them a parting instruction. He says, "Brethren, watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong, let all your things be done with charity." But this word "watch," we get our name Gregory from it, in English, Gregorello, but the word means to be watchful, to be vigilant. First of all, it has a military application. When on campaign, soldiers at night post guards, post a watch to keep alert, to see, make sure no enemy can approach unnoticed, undetected, and do harm to the soldiers. And indeed, this is one of the reasons why we're called to watch. As Christians, we are in a battle. Christian life is spiritual warfare. In fact, in Peter in his first epistle, chapter 5, uses the same word when he says, "Be sober, be vigilant." This "be vigilant" is the same word. Keep, be watchful, watch. And why? He tells us, "Because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour." And so we're to resist him, standing firm in the faith. But we have an adversary who does not want us to reach the safe haven of the kingdom, who does not want us to enter into the joy of our Lord, who does not want us to inherit the blessings that he's made available to us by becoming man and being crucified and rising again. He wants us to share his misery. He's envious of us. He tried to usurp God, but we by grace can become what the Son of God is by nature. We become heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. And he's envious of us. And his program is simply to kill, to steal, and destroy. To kill the life in us. To rob us of all the blessings and riches of God. And so we're called to be watchful. To watch, because he's out there. He's looking for his opportunity. He's looking to pull us down and to devour us, to destroy our faith, to leave us miserable, wretched, blind, and naked. And this is a very real threat. We see this all around us. We see this in our own lives sometimes. We get careless. We stop coming to church. We stop praying. Next thing you know, we're falling into serious sin. And we're wretched, we feel the loss of grace. We feel the distance from God and from one another. The remedy to this is to watch, to be watchful. We not only watch against our enemy, but we also watch for the coming of the Lord. Jesus tells us to watch because we don't know the hour which our Lord will come. He says this several times. In fact, in Mark he says, "I say unto all, watch, be vigilant." This is one reason Christians used to keep vigil on Saturday night into Sunday morning all night long, as they were watching for the coming of the bridegroom who might well come at midnight. It was an eschatological expectation that the Lord is near and that he will come, and they wanted him to find them awake and attentive. So every time you go to vigil, or have you ever have the privilege of going to a real all-night vigil, part of that is that entering into the church's expectant waiting for the coming of the Lord, which is promise in which we confess our faith in the creed. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. And so we watch for this. We know that it will come, we just don't know when. We're told to be vigilant in expecting it. and knowing that it is inevitable. We're also told to watch so that we enter not into temptation. This probably goes with watching against the enemy, but Jesus says, watch that you fall not into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. We cannot stand against temptation if we're not sober-minded, if we're not watching. We're not watching. And where does sin come from? It doesn't just suddenly manifest itself in our life in an action. We don't just suddenly kill somebody or rob a store just on the spur of the moment. Generally, well, always, sin begins with a thought. It's with a thought that comes into our mind. And that thought, we have a choice. That we can't stop those thoughts from coming in, but we have a choice what to do with them. And if we're not watchful, as we know, we go throughout the day, all sorts of thoughts come into our minds. And you get up in the morning, you start thinking about things you want to do. You look out the window, you see your neighbor's yard, and you start to think thoughts about your neighbor, how he doesn't keep his yard trimmed, or lets trash be in his yard, or how his dogs are too noisy. And then you get out and you go eat breakfast, and you think about how somebody in your household doesn't eat with very politely, or eats too much, or... You know, and then you go out on the road and thoughts come in about people and we judge them and we think about how they aren't driving properly or they're not being respectful to us, and all sorts of thoughts come into our minds in the course of the day. And if we're not watchful, these thoughts just come in one after another, and many of them we ignore, but some of them captivate the mind. And if these thoughts are good thoughts, it's fine for the mind to be engaged with them. But many of these thoughts lead us where we don't need to go, lead us where we don't want to go if we want to please Christ. And if we're not watchful, if we're not aware, if we're not alert, these like little, you know, the enemy's little secret assassins, you know, are coming in trying to get past our defenses to do us harm. If we're not aware and don't detect them, they get into our minds and we accept them, not aware of the damage they'll do, and then our minds get engaged, we start agreeing to the thought, and before we know it takes us to a place of sin. Of course, once we've developed a habit of sin, the time lapse between the thought and the accomplishment of the action can be very, very short and almost undetectable. But to stand, we have to watch. We have to be aware of what thoughts come in, and we have to learn to resist the sinful thoughts, discern which ones will take us where we don't need to go, and cut them off, counteract them with prayer, cry out to God to deliver us from our enemies that are oppressing us and would pull us down. We have to seek to take every thought captive the obedience of Christ, as Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And this is our spiritual warfare. And if we're not watchful, if we're lazying about in bed, if we're being slothful, if we're filling ourselves with liquor and stuffing our stomachs with food, if we're giving ourselves to constant amusement and entertainment, just letting our mind float around with all the thoughts and philosophies and ideas found in the news and on the TV and in movies and in, you know, popular literature, we won't be watchful. We can't be. Exposing our minds to all that stuff constantly will make it very hard to be watchful. And certainly if our stomachs are full of food and we're full of liquor or something or drugs, there's no watchfulness there at all. We can't be watchful. Those things suppress our defenses and we're very vulnerable at that point. And so we're called to watch. Jesus warns the church of Sardis in Revelation. He says, be watchful and strengthen the things that remain. But if therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know the hour I will come upon thee. Then later on in Revelation, he says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, lest he walk naked and they see his shame. So if we're not watchful, Christ may come upon us and we may not be ready. We'll be found as though, you know, sometimes we have the nightmare of, you know, going outside and not having any clothes on and people seeing us and, you know, we're ashamed or, you know. And just imagine that in reality, Christ appears and we're not ready and we appear as naked and the whole world can see our shame. And so he says, blessed is he that watcheth and keepeth his garments, so that when Christ appears, he may be clothed and may be ready to face his Master and Lord. In Colossians, Paul tells us to continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. So our prayer should be watchful. It's not just a rote thing we do to fulfill a duty. It's as we become more aware of the spiritual struggle in which we're engaged, those words of those prayers that are given to us become all the more meaningful, and we can speak them with conviction and with a sense of our need for them. And we become more aware of the enemies that oppress us and try to pull us down. But we're to watch, continue in prayer and watch in the same, watch in prayer with thanksgiving. We don't endure this warfare and complain about it. We don't lament it. We don't regret it. We don't despair in the face of it. But we give thanks. This is one of our most powerful ascetical weapons that we have as Christians, is to give thanks for all things. And indeed, we're commanded to do that. Give thanks always and for everything. And especially for the things that we don't like. And we can even say, Lord, thank you for this temptation. Even though it's a temptation that we fear and that we, you know, suspect that we're going to fall to. We thank God for it. And why? How can we thank God for a temptation? Well, faith has to be tested. It has to be tried for it to be proven and to be found precious and pure as gold. And so there's no spiritual progress without temptation, first of all. Secondly, those weaknesses are places where we're weak and we're tempted, give us a chance to experience God's power firsthand. When it finally gets through our thick heads that we realize, you know, I can't stand in the face of this. I am really not a chaste person. I am a lustful, person in this regard. And I can't resist these temptations. I don't have the strength. But as we then bring this to God, begin to experience His grace and His power, we realize that where we are weak, He is strong, and He is able to make us stand in the face of those things that we can't stand against in our own strength. And so there's an opportunity there to know God's power and His presence, where it's harder to know it in areas where we're strong. But we're to give thanks in the face of all things, and for the temptations, for the troubles and trials, knowing that God is with us, that He's working in us to complete the good work He's begun in us, that He's, as we cooperate with Him, He's working to perfect us and purify us and to save us, that all things will work together for good for us who love Him and are called according to His purpose. And so with that faith that God is with us, with that faith that He is truly Emmanuel, God with us, with that confidence that He loves us and only wants good for us, we can give thanks in the face of all these things and not despair and not complain and not murmur. You know, in fact, you know, we often think, if only these things that weren't around me that tempt me. Well, there's no virtue in that. You know, if you don't have the opportunity to sin, there's very little virtue in the fact that you haven't sinned in that way. It's only when faced by the choice, being able to say, no, I don't want that. I want God. I'm going to serve the Creator, not the creature. Only then is our faith and our choice virtuous. And to lock yourself up in a room and not be exposed to anything that might cause you to sin is no great credit, because you have little opportunity there. But actually, there's plenty of opportunity to sin in a room by yourself. But the fact is, we take that in with us. And if it isn't able to manifest itself in one certain way, it will certainly manifest itself in other ways unless we deal with the root of it. So we're called to watch. I'm prepared to talk about standing fast and quitting ye like men and being strong and doing all things with love, but I think I'm going to cut it short and just say that not only watching, we're called to stand fast in the faith. We're called to receive the faith, which, as Jude says, was once for all preached to the saints, once for all delivered to the saints. The apostles proclaimed it, the church received it, and in generation after generation, the same faith has been passed down and preserved. And it's our task to receive that, to hold to it, and to stand fast in it, which means to live it. And Paul uses the same word for standing fast in 2 Thessalonians 2:15 when he says, "Stand fast and hold the traditions you have been taught, whether by word or our epistle." So we're to stand fast in these things and hold to them, the traditions, the things that have been passed on, whether it's the scripture or whether it's the oral tradition and the experience of the church. We hold on to these things and we stand in them. And this is the why at the end of every service, what is it we sing as we get ready to go out? We sing, "Establish, O God, the holy Orthodox faith and Orthodox Christians unto ages of ages." The sense of being established is what enables us to stand fast. We've planted our feet, we've put down roots, we're firmly planted, we're established, we're strong, we're, you know, like a tree that's taken root and grown strong in its place. It's not easily moved. And we pray that at the end of every service, as we go back out to face the world, that we may be established in the faith, that we may stand firm in it, that we may hold to it, not be shaken and not be moved by all the winds and trials and temptations and struggles that face us in the world. And so as we now prepare to lay aside earthly cares, to lift our hearts to the Lord and give thanks to Him for all He's done for us, to partake of His holy mysteries, let us resolve in our hearts to, with God's help, to be watchful, to be more watchful than we have, and to stand fast, that we may inherit the fullness of what He's prepared for us. To Christ our God belong all glory and worship, because of the Father and the Holy Spirit, always now.